Hebrews chapter 11. We've been going here through the chapter of faith. Again, this is an important chapter because he has been preparing them really for this chapter, I believe. He's been kind of exposing the things that the believers were struggling with by talking about the children of Israel in the past, and he's been encouraging them to consider Jesus Christ, who is better than anything that they had before. Jesus Christ, he says, is better than angels. He's better than Abraham. He's better than Aaron. He's better than Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is better than anything. What they have in Christ is better than anything. And he points to the fact that the issue, and throughout those things, he talks about their maturity. He talks about the children of Israel. The reason why they did not enter into the promised land was because of unbelief. And he comes now to chapter 11 and really preparing. He talks about in verse 38 of chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for the just to live. And these Hebrew Christians who have been immersed since birth into Judaism, who know the traditions and all those things, he goes on to proceed in chapter 11 by describing what faith is, by also stating that without faith it is impossible to please God, and by giving example after example of their forefathers, their patriarchs, if you would, who lived by faith. You see, they wanted to go back to a system, and what the author of the book of Hebrews is trying to tell them is that faith is much better than a system. You see, faith is important. We've been learning some lessons about faith in this chapter. Now we come to Hebrews chapter 11, and notice down to verse 29. Hebrews 11, 29. Now, we've been studying this chapter, and we're spending a little more time than I originally thought we would, but there are many lessons about faith that we learn throughout this chapter. And here we move to verse 29, where the Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, notice, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Now again, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Notice the word in the beginning of the verse, by faith, they. Now who is he speaking about here? The children of Israel as a whole. Now if we remember the record of when the Egyptians were drawing nigh, it would seem to our mind that it was not a good record. There was the complaining, the lifting up their voices against Moses. And it would seem to me that the children of Israel at that moment were not walking by faith. But God lets us know that what was done on that day, the passing through the Red Sea, was by faith. Which, the Bible says, the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. This evening I want to preach on this thought. We see that we're going to look as we consider the study of faith. We see the established course of faith. The established course of faith. You know, the parting of the Red Sea is perhaps, some commentators have said, the most Old Testament event, if you would. Now, I don't know if I agree with that. One commentator wrote, he says, the miracle of the Red Sea occupies a similar place in the Old Testament scripture as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus does in the New. It is appealed to as a standard of measurement as the supreme demonstration of God's power. And really, as we consider the parting of the Red Sea, it is the event, really, that propelled Israel out of Egypt, although they had already left, but yet Egypt was still coming after them, and so it wasn't over. But really, the parting of the Red Sea is what made that separation, if you would. It was the miracle that completely saw the miracle of God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so we see that they did what they did by faith. So I want to speak this evening on the established course of faith. And I entitled it the established course of faith because this was a pre-selected course. It was something that God wanted. Now, if you look on a map, it would not make sense for them to take the course that they took. But it was established by God. And they followed that course, the established course, by faith. So there are lessons that we learn this evening as we consider them passing through the Red Sea. First of all, let's consider the pressure of faith, the pressure of faith. The Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian is saying to do were drowned. Now we have to go back to Exodus chapter 16. If you turn there with me, we'll be spending some time there and looking at this passage in Exodus chapter 16. And looking at the record here, this is following, obviously, the 10 plagues and the miracles, the last of which was devastating to the Egyptians, particularly to Pharaoh, who considers himself and the firstborn to be a god. And God killed the firstborn of every home. Because of Pharaoh's refusal to let the children of Israel go, we know we have the Passover, and we studied that. The Bible says that by faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover, and we saw all that a few weeks ago. But consider the pressure of faith. In Exodus chapter number 16, I want you to consider, because when God led the children of Israel, he brought them to a place that was a dead end. And we would think, well, it doesn't make a lot of sense for God to send them there. But the Bible tells us in Exodus 16 verse 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." God, this journey from them leaving Egypt to go into the promised land, God, through that time, that period, is going to prove them whether they are going to walk by faith, if you would, obey the Lord or not obey the Lord. And so therefore, notice what where faith takes them, the established course of faith, brings them to a place of pressure. We don't like pressure. I don't. Do you? Now, at that time, they came and perhaps they were rejoicing in the fact that they were delivered out of Egypt, but now here they come again. And now they are at a dead end, and there's pressure. So as we consider the pressure of faith, we see, first of all, the peril in the pressure of faith. In Exodus, if we go back to chapter 14, just a few chapters before, in verse 1 and 2, notice the Bible says, Exodus 14, verse 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea." Notice they were to encamp by the sea. This was a direct command of God. God ordered that the children of Israel go to Pihahiroth, which was on the west side of the Red Sea. Now they were to go to a certain mountain which was on the east side of the Red Sea, but he led them to the west side of the Red Sea. This was not the way any of the Israelites would have thought logical. If this was placed in the hands of any of the Israelites, they would have said, go around from the north and come down on the east side. Don't go to the west side, because you can't get to that mountain if you go on the west side. Then we have to backtrack and do that again. But notice verse 3 tells us, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in." Notice here, God led them there for the Egyptians to pursue them there. That's exactly what happened. Pharaoh quickly realized that Israel was trapped in Pihahiroth. Faith, by the way, is not about making the journey easy and comfortable. Trusting the Lord by faith does not mean that everything's going to be smooth sailing and nothing bad is going to happen to you. There will be no pressure. As a matter of fact, if you trust the Lord by faith and walk by faith, there will be pressure. Rather, faith is about obeying God's will to fulfill God's plan. That's what faith is about. It is about obeying God's will to fulfill God's plan. You see, faith is not about us. Faith is about God. This did not make sense, but in the economy of God, it made a whole lot of sense. Why? Because we know the rest of the story, but they didn't at that time. You see, God had a plan, and that plan was to bring the children of Israel up to, through a testing time, if you would, through a pressure time. And so we see the pressure of faith. True faith is interested in improving itself and in seeing to the glory of God. That's what faith is interested in. Faith, true faith in God, is not interested, if you would, in ease and painless situations. That's what the flesh is interested in. But faith is interested in improving itself and seeing that God is glorified. So we see, first of all, the peril and the pressure of faith, because here they were in peril. What they saw as they considered the Egyptians come, and as they saw them afar off, and then they saw themselves that they were stuck, they thought themselves, this is going to be a bloodbath. This is not good. And can you imagine the pressure that was there now? So not only do we see the peril and the pressure of faith, but number two, we see the prayer and the pressure of faith. Now, there is much criticism that goes on into this passage and how the children of Israel responded. But I want us to consider their first response. In verse 10, the Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Now the rest of the verse, verse 11 says, "And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now we would say that is not a good response. But what was their first response? The first thing that they did as they saw the Egyptians come, the Bible says, they cried out unto the Lord. You see, much of what was said in this uncomfortable situation did not please God. However, the Israelites calling upon the Lord did please Him. Crying out unto the Lord. Now they criticize Moses and say, "Oh, we didn't want you to come here. You know, that's why we didn't want to go, because we knew that something like that would happen." They were rejoicing that they left Egypt, but now the leadership is taking criticism. They come to Moses, and let me stop and say this. As we see in Hebrews, the Bible says that they, by faith, passed through the Red Sea. May I say that the nation of Israel as a whole trusted God by faith. There might have been some voices out there, some contentious voices, who may have raised up their voices against Moses, but that was not the whole. The first thing that they all did as a whole was they cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. You see, no doubt among this crowd were angry people who made their voices heard, but we know according to Hebrews, the children of Israel by faith passed through the Red Sea. You see, prayer is our declaration of dependence upon God. And as we face the pressure, if you would, of faith, in the course of faith, prayer is a necessary ingredient in the times of pressure. The first thing the children of Israel, upon seeing the Egyptians with their hearts being overwhelmed with fear, was they cried unto the Lord. We gain nothing by delaying in seeking God's help. There's no gain there. There's no profit there. It is the first thing that they did. Crying unto the Lord. May I say, sometimes it must be out of frustration, but it also still causes us to cry unto the Lord. You see, the Lord was the one that had led them out of Egypt. Therefore, the Lord was the only one that can deliver them at that moment. So we see the pressure of faith. In the pressure of faith, we see the peril, the prayer. But number three, we see the precept in the pressure of faith. We go down to verse 15 of Exodus chapter 14. And the Bible says, well, verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel." Now notice here the same expression. Moses now is crying unto the Lord. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, but then they went to Moses. And they complained to Moses. Now Moses is crying out unto the Lord. And the Lord says, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." And I'll stop here. There is no forward. Now, in the eyes of man, there was no forward. There was nowhere to go. But God said it. You see, God said, "Moses, don't cry to me. Just go to the people and tell them, go forward." Under pressure, they found a precept to obey. Again, genuine faith is based upon the Word of God. We've established that throughout the course of this chapter. You see, crossing the Red Sea was not about a logical thing to do. It was not about an emotional decision as well. Crossing the Red Sea was a direct command of God to go forward. You see, faith rests upon the precepts of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Remember what the Bible says? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what evidence do we have? Right here it is. You see, that is the evidence that we have. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, faith finds its root, if you would, its precepts in the Word of God. Doesn't Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tell us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? You see, the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God is what engenders, is what creates faith in our lives, and it is what our faith depends on. We've seen that through this chapter, haven't we? It was God's Word upon which Abel acted in offering the excellent sacrifice of faith. It was God's Word upon which Noah acted in building the ark. It was God's Word upon which Abraham acted in going to a far country. It was God's Word upon which Abraham acted in willingly offering up his son Isaac. It was God's Word upon which Moses acted in returning to Egypt to deliver Israel. And now it was based upon God's Word which the Israelites had to act in crossing the Red Sea. You see, faith is not this thing that we think that it's something that either it's not founded on anything. Faith is rooted on the precepts of the Word of God. You see, it is not something imaginary. And under the pressure of faith, we see the precept in the pressure of faith. If we lack a divine precept or principle upon which to act in our faith, we are not living by faith. You see, it is the Word of God that declared. And God said, tell them to go forward. Under pressure. Under pressure. And therefore, they did that under pressure because of the precept found in the Word of God. So we not only see the pressure of faith in the established course of faith, but number two, we see the process of faith. So what was the process here? Well, Exodus 14:21 tells us, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Down to verse 21, he says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, let's consider the process of faith. Because these children of Israel, if you would, were under considerable pressure. They feared for their lives as they saw what was going on. And they heard the precept, if you would, of God as Moses relates it to them. God says, listen up, God said, go forward. Where? Now we know the Bible says that the Lord caused the sea to go back. I want us to consider several things as we think about the process of faith. God said to go forward, and therefore He made a way. You see, faith, which is dependent on the Word of God, relies on the Word of God, and when it relies on the Word of God, then God opens up a path. So what's the process of walking by faith? Because they could have seen that and not walked there. You know, I think we would all say, wow, I would have liked to be there. Think about it. Walls of water on each side, and you're going to walk in between them? I don't know how you feel about it, but I wouldn't be comfortable. That would make me uneasy. Now, when we consider this, the process of faith is not something about they heard. It was not just about what they saw. They had to do something. Therefore, we see the performance of faith. Exodus chapter 14, verse 29. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now think about it. Although there was much to walk about, the Israelites did not just talk about what they wanted to do. They walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. You know, if we demonstrated our faith is demonstrated in our obedience to the command of God. Walking by faith is not an easy and natural road. When walking upon an untrodden path, faith performs. You see, faith follows God. Faith goes forward. Now we know the verse where Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But when they saw it, they saw what? They saw the path open up based upon the precept of God that says go forward. So when they saw the path open up, they had to make a decision to go ahead and perform. Obey if you would. Not only do we see the performance of faith, but number two, we see the path of faith in the process. So not only do we have to perform and take the first step in walking on dry land, but we see the path of faith. What kind of path is it? Exodus chapter 14, verse 29 tells us, but the children of Israel, notice those words, walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. There's one word that gets my attention here. That's the word walk. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie of parting of the Red Sea. You know, sometimes you have cartoons or movies. Most of the time they have the children of Israel running, rushing, don't they? The Bible says they walked. They walked. That communicates faith. As we consider the path of faith, first of all, we see the path of faith is calm. The path of faith is calm. One of the commentators wrote this about faith. He says, it is beautiful to observe in Exodus 14, 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. They did not rush through at top speed. There was no confusion. With absolute confidence in the Lord, they crossed in orderly procession. You know, we would not consider it to be strange for them to have run across the other side. I don't think that would have been strange. But the path of faith always demonstrates absolute calm and confidence in God. Isaiah 28, 16 tells us, he that believeth shall not make haste. You see, if we believe on the Lord, there is no, if you would, nervousness or confusion in the path of faith, although there was much to be confused about and alarmed about. There's walls of water around you, and you're just going to walk? Yes, because of faith. When we make a decision to walk by faith and in the performance of faith, in the path of faith, there is calmness. There is absolute peace in the path of faith. But may I say, the peace, the calm, does not come until we actually walk by faith. What we want to do in our lives, we say, God, give me peace, and then I'll walk by faith. And that's not the way it works. We walk by faith, and then the peace comes. You see, God provides us with what we need when we need it, not before. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We think, well, God, you do this for me, and I'll do this for you. Now God says, look, believe my word, go forward. Here's the parting of the Red Sea. Now you have to step forward. And as they step forward, notice their reaction. They walked. So the path is calm, but number two, the path is clear. Throughout the Word of God, Hebrews 11, 29 says that by faith they walked as by dry land. Five times in Exodus, it mentions this expression, dry. Once in Nehemiah, once in Psalm, once in Hebrews, it mentions on dry ground. Notice Exodus 14, 16. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on, notice, dry ground through the midst of the sea. Notice verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Notice verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand and on their left. We could go to chapter 15, verse 19, where the Bible says, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 11 tells us, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. Psalm 66 verse 6 says, He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did they we rejoice in Him. You see, the emphasis here again and again, God says it was dry. That's another miracle. It's not just the parting of the sea, although that's miracle number one, but the miracle number two was the fact that it was dry. It was clear. This is another miracle, again, for us to consider. Not only were the waters parted, but the ground on the bottom of the sea was completely dry. There was no mud. It was a clear, smooth path to the other side. May I say that when faith is exercised, it brings calmness and clarity to the path that's taken. There was pressure, but notice as they trusted God by faith under pressure, God gave them a smooth path. The Egyptians were still behind. There was still a road to go, but it was smooth. What caused that? Faith. It was faith that parted the sea. And it was faith that made the ground dry. You see, faith, the path of faith, makes it calm and clear. Not only do we see, as we think of the process of faith, the performance of faith, the path of faith, but number three, we see the preserver of faith. So in chapter 14, in verse 30, the Bible tells us, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Notice the Lord saved Israel. The Lord did that. But the children of Israel had to have faith. Can I say this? I'm going to say it. I don't know why I said it. They would have never seen the preserving hand of God unless they had trusted Him by faith. We cannot see the miracles of God in our lives, His preserving hand, until we walk by faith. God saved Israel from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. We have already learned in this chapter alone that faith protects us. Faith delivers us. Faith also preserves us. And here it says that's what faith did for the children of Israel. God preserved them. God delivered them. So we see not only the pressure of faith, but we also see the process of faith. But thirdly, as we look at the rest of the verse, Hebrews 11:29, it says that by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, but the rest of the verse tells us this, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. So, we not only see the pressure of faith, the process of faith, but thirdly we see the perversion of faith. God mentions the Egyptians here. They tried to cross the Red Sea. They attempted, the word is saying means attempted. They attempted to cross the Red Sea. They attempted to go through the same path, if you would, that the children of Israel went through. And they attempted to go as the waters were on each side and as the ground was dry. They attempted to take the same path of faith that the children of Israel took. Without faith. You see, we must be careful not to disguise fleshly actions as faith. And this happens all the time. By so doing, we produce a fleshly counterfeit under the disguise of faith. You know, many people in their fleshly pursuit will declare, the Lord led me to do this. I hear that all the time. Well, God led me to do this. And they'll kind of throw God into what they want to do. The Egyptians attempted to walk the path of faith without faith. How do they do? Not good. Not good. You see, that path that was created, the established course of faith that was established for the children of Israel who walked by faith, was only for those who walked by faith. And anybody that tries through fleshly desires to say, oh, I've been led of the Lord to do certain things, is a perversion of faith. We see two things really missing, if you would, in the Egyptians. First of all, we see the pursuit without a command. You see, the Egyptians did not receive a command from God to cross the Red Sea. The children of Israel did. Faith always has a premise, or it is not faith. Now, the premise, again, is the Word of God, the precepts, the commands of the Word of God. The Egyptians did not have that. You see, their command was their own pursuit. The children of Israel were pursuing, if you would, following the command of God, but the Egyptians were not pursuing the commands of God. They were pursuing the commandments of their king. Let's go after them. Let's kill them. Let's bring them back. What some may do by faith is not something you are to do unless you have a biblical premise, again, for doing so. Not only do we see the pursuit without a command, but number two, we see the purpose was corrupt. The Egyptians were not wanting to cross the Red Sea because of an honorable cause. They were crossing it for their own personal gain. They were fighting the will of God in crossing the Red Sea. That which is not of faith will ultimately come to ruin. You see, God mentions for us here that the children of Israel, by faith, they crossed the Red Sea as by dry land. But it reminds us, He reminds these Hebrew Christians, as they're making a fleshly decision to want to go back to Judaism, He's basically telling them it's not faith. The decision you want to make is not a faith decision. It's a fleshly, emotional decision. And it's going to cause your ruin. You see, the Egyptians, they also tried to walk the path of faith that the Israelites did. They essayed, they attempted, but they were unable. Why? Because it was a perversion. You see, there was no command for them, and their purpose was corrupt. We must be discerning in our own lives as Christians. We must be very careful to put God into something that we have already decided to do without consulting Him. Is God confused? No, He's not. No, He's not. But it seems as we talk to Christians, they may almost make God look like He's confused. Because one minute the Lord is leading them to do something, and then the next minute they turn and do something else, and the next minute, oh, God led me to do this, and they throw God in everything. May I say that is not walking by faith? You see, people, we have to be very careful in our own hearts, in our motivations. If there's no mandate, biblical mandate, and if our motivation is not the glory of God, it's not the pursuit, the living by faith and following the precepts of the Word of God, that we have to question ourselves, is this of the flesh or is this of faith? For the Israelites, it was of faith. For the Egyptians, it was of the flesh. May the Lord help us not to confuse the two. You know, we can think of missions. I was talking to a young man who was at a missions conference, and he came to me and he said, you know, I when missionaries come, I believe God wants me to go there. I said, well, that's a burden, and you ought to have a burden. You know, when we have missionaries come, I want to go there. I don't know how you feel. I mean, I want to go there. That's a burden, but that's not a call. It's good to be burdened. We ought to be willing to go anywhere, right, that God would lead us, but we have to be discerning. We should not make an emotional decision based upon just a burden that the Lord places on our hearts, although we ought to be burdened. It has to be a call. There has to be God speaking to our hearts and saying, this is what I want you to do. But many times we can even make good decisions, if you would, trying to do things for the cause of Christ, but without doing it by faith. It's an emotional response. And we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning. Which leads us back to the process of faith. You see, where the Lord leads, as we perform, the path is clear and calm. You see, a lot of times people say, well, I try to do this, but then my life is becoming a mess. It could be the devil hindering you, but it could also be that you're not walking by faith. Therefore, God is not going to make your pathway clear and calm. But also, you will see that in faith, there will be the preservation of God. So may I say, let's ask the Lord to help us as we consider faith and we consider the established course of faith. God has something for each one of us individually that He wants us to do. We ought to walk by faith. God has already established a path. And may we be discerning and make sure that as we follow Him, we are following Him by faith. Do you know it is easy for me as a pastor to walk in the flesh? Really? Yes. To do things out of the flesh? Good things out of the flesh. But it must be by faith. You see, that's something that as believers we also always have to keep in check. Am I doing this by faith? Or am I doing this out of the flesh? You see, the fruits of those things, we have to look inside our hearts and inside our minds and see what the motivation is. Is this for my personal glory? For my personal benefit? Or is this for the glory of God? And again, we examine the path. Let's ask the Lord to help us this evening as we consider the established course of faith.